Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
Thank you for listening to Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show, guys, and we appreciate you being here. The Falcons, they cannot let history repeat itself. I'm going to explain it in just a second. Coming up, we're going to talk more college football as Florida beat Texas. Listen, if the Florida team that showed up on Saturday shows up against the Dogs in a few weeks, Mike, it's going to make for certainly a much more interesting game. The way Florida had played the last couple of weeks prior to this Saturday, you just felt like the Dogs had no reasons to worry. The defense looks better, and offensively they're healthy. You mentioned DJ Lagway. We'll get into the Penn State loss, certainly what Alabama did against Vandy, and the game that you are at, sir, and what it means for Miami. All of that is on the way. But, Mike, last three seasons the Falcons have gotten off to a 2-2 start. But what's been the end result? It's not where you start, it's where you finish. And so looking at this 2-2 start, we all feel pretty good. Maybe it's not the 2-2 that you thought, maybe with the wins. Mm-hmm. You thought they might come against another team or so. But this is about where we're going. And to look at the last few years and go, wow, we started out 2-2. Here come the Bills.
Yeah, we were 2-2 last year. We lost to Pittsburgh, Philly. Man, that was first quarter of the season, if you will. Then an amazing overtime win with Tampa Bay, and we're rolling. And then the wheels fell off. And then things started to get a little funky. You know, we talked about, unfortunately, you know, so many issues with this team that just kind of made you go, oh, wait a minute. The Seattle game, it kind of gets lost in the discussion. That Seattle game was funky.
It was.
You know, that was maybe the first chink in the armor for Kirk Cousins. But then he turns right around. He was the NFC Offensive Player of the Week the second time they played Tampa Bay. And then we beat Dallas. We're on top of the world, right?
We were.
And then they hit with New Orleans, and then the wheels come off. And then, of course, 2023 is Arthur Smith, so it's apples to oranges. But you're right. You and I, the first thing we said on our pre-show today on Twitch and on YouTube, it's around 11:15, guys. We always give you a heads up on social media when it's going to drop. But we were saying, man, kind of hoping that, you know, the Patriots didn't look that good and the Bills were undefeated coming in. Because you got to feel that McDermott's going to be, you know, burning the midnight oil and working on how they're going to get better against the run. Because so much of what you saw the Patriots doing, Ramondre Stevenson, like, man, we got much more dynamic playmakers at the skill position. I know that, you know, certainly Stephon Diggs was like a Buffalo Bills Stephon Diggs against his old team. But don't you feel, watching that first half, man, we could do the same things the Patriots were doing, maybe better.
Yeah, and here's the deal. Yeah, I wanted it to be 40-0 Bills so they could come in here relaxed and feeling like this is a cocktail party and, you know, hey, we're going down to Atlanta, man. We'll hit Magic City. We'll have a good time. They're not coming in like that. This is one that hits them right in the face. First of all, it's a division opponent. Secondly, it just kind of shows you how good Mike Vrabel is. And I said this to Mike. They muddied the waters. Just stay close. The Bills are a better team right now than we are. But it doesn't matter, man. When they make the mistakes they made and you capitalize, and let's give credit where credit's due, we're going to need a really good performance from our quarterback again. Listen, Drake May, guys, 13 of 14 for 184 yards in the second half. He missed one throw in the second half. That was the reason why they stayed in this game, and May finished with over 273 yards. But he was perfect in the second half. So you talk about the quarterback play, and for everybody that's been doubting Drake May, he looks the part. He looks like he's going to be their franchise quarterback. But his coach is helping them, Mike, with the way that they're playing, and that is running the ball. And then defensively, they did a really good job against Josh Allen, specifically against Josh. And that's my concern. I told you this morning, if you don't wrap up against this dude, he's so damn big, he's going to break tackles and get extra yards.
You know, the Patriots, you know, it was early in the broadcast, they were saying, look, looks like they're getting what they want in the run game. They only rushed for 71 yards.
Yep.
So I know that Josh McDaniels, and again, we're going to see these Patriots guys. Remember, we're playing the AFC East this year, so it's kind of interesting to see what both teams are doing because I haven't been watching the Patriots yet. But that's the thing as a Falcon fan, the physicality on the defense, why we drafted all these defensive players the last 2 years, talked about it with DJ Shockley last hour. You know, is this where we can use that athleticism of Jalen Walker and Pierce where we don't let Josh Allen do that Josh Allen stuff, which just like when they were dead in the water, all of a sudden, boom, he brings them back, almost brought them back.
He did, and here's the thing about Drake May. He didn't throw touchdowns, but he moved the chains. So they're getting first downs. They're working clock. When I say muddy in the waters, that's what I'm talking about. You don't let Josh Allen on the field to beat you. You're just moving the chains. You're working the clock. And that's what they did a really good job of. But here's the thing. Stephon Diggs also, you talked about this with your fantasy squad, didn't you? Did you
right.
have Stephon?
Diggs, it was a bye week, so I had to go to Diggs, and he worked out.
10 catches, 446 yards. Hello, Drake. I mean, like, Drake could do that. I mean, and here's the thing about the Bills, and we'll dive deeper, Mike, but Dalton Kincaid, we got to be able to cover this dude. He is like a safety blanket for Josh Allen at the tight end position.
Well, this is Cade Nelson, Divine Diablo country, right?
It is, and that's what I'm saying. Like, if we believe in our linebackers, this is going to be a big week for those guys because you got to be able to run with Dalton. You got to cover because when Josh escapes, Kincaid is like Jason Witten, Mike, with the Cowboys back right. in the day. He's like Tony Gonzalez. Every time you turn and he'd just make a move and he'd be open and you pick up 5, 6, 7 yards, that's Dalton Kincaid. And he's like that safety blanket. So I think that's going to be a big part of this week.
But and then on the flip side, just real quick while you're talking tight ends, Hunter Henry had 2 for 46. This is where, and we also brought this up with DJ Shockley, more Pitts.
Pitts.
This is where, is Mooney going to be finally 100%? I'm not sure. Is Mooney going to be right all season?
Yep.
But Mooney more explosive at the skill position? Because you just look at the Patriots and you're, first thing I was thinking, aside from Diggs, who had a hell of a night, is we can do some of the same things they're doing, probably even better, provided that, you know, Zach has got a plan,
yeah.
And it does get a little more, even more imagination and self-scout and all the things that Buffalo's going to look at us, what we did against the Commanders, and how do we counterpunch?
404-726-0929. More concerned that the Bills won or that they lost against the Patriots last night? Or doesn't bother you? One way or another, you knew we were going to have a tough go at it with the Bills, who are now 4-1 on the season. And by the way, Josh is playing really well. There's no debating that. He did throw a pick last night, but at the end of the day, he's leading them exactly how we thought he would. And here's the thing, 9 carries. Some of that's designed, most of it's not. Like, he just finds a way to pick up 50, 60, 70 yards in a game, and you go, okay. Only thing he didn't do last night is run a touchdown in with his legs, Mike, but that's what you can expect from Josh Allen, and that's what I'm talking about with the tackling. If you got him in your grasp, you got to get this dude down.
Right. And we know that the Buffalo Bills got to ask, like, it's Super Bowl or bust for that team.
For them.
The Ravens look terrible. If you didn't see the Ravens, I mean, obviously they're going to get Lamar Jackson back at some point. You know, the Chiefs, we're going to see the Chiefs tonight in the Monday night game nobody wanted. It's Jacksonville hosting the Chiefs. Although Jacksonville's coming off a big win over San Francisco.
Yeah, I like Jacksonville to cover tonight, Mike. I just do. I know the Chiefs blew doors against the Ravens. Ravens are so banged up. I mean, like, and you talk about making excuses. This is like us a few years ago when we were like, all right, Dan Quinn, we'll bring you back because everybody was hurt. That's how you kind of feel. And they don't have Lamar to save the day. He's even injured.
Right.
I don't look at that game and say tonight that Jacksonville's not going to be ready for this contest against Kansas City.
Half the league is 2-2, you know, 2-3. I mean, we're all in that same kind of muddled mess. But this is a game where, I don't know, I look at Buffalo's defense and I say they don't scare you.
No.
You know what I mean? And we've already talked about the ability to run the football better than what the Patriots did. So it's not impossible. Yes, guys, you see something on the text line, there's going to be like 20,000 Bills. Well, there'll be a lot of Bills fans, okay? We knew that.
Yeah.
You know, until we start winning consistently and people stop selling their ticket, like, I'm not telling people how to spend their money. I understand it. You can recoup big time by putting it on the secondary market. Hopefully that changes. But it would be nice to look like Minnesota on Sunday night, have a packed house, have everybody in their seats, including those people in the nice seats, between the 20 and 20.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can do our part. 7:15 start. We've got a very special show we'll tell you about that we're going to work with Andy and Randy on next Monday from Signia up at the sports bar. Going to be a blast. But I don't know, man. I'm not trying to be a hype man for the Falcons. I don't I felt we were going to lose this game to start the season.
Okay.
Now I feel we got a 50-50. We got a puncher's chance to pull this one off.
Well, the way this thing has gone, it gives you a better feel for, you know, if we were 4-0, would you feel that way? You'd have maybe be overly confident. Mm. Because of the disappointing game in Carolina, it may have been exactly what we needed. It may have been exactly what we needed. So I'm with you on this. I'm not going into this game thinking that the Bills are going to come in here and embarrass us by no stretch of the imagination. And by the way, that game last night, the reason why it was so big is because the Dolphins aren't doing jack, the Jets are terrible, and the Patriots now are 2-0 in that division.
Right.
So if you're a Patriot fan and you're going, well, maybe we got a shot at the playoffs, you're 2-0 in the division now, and you know the Bills are 2-1. That's why that was such a big deal for them last night. But I think, Mike, coming down here, this is going to be a real challenge for us. And by the way, if you want to start having people talk about our football team, let's show up on Monday night.
Right, that's it. That's what I'm saying. We've got to bring it. I know there's going to be a lot of Bills fans. Bring the heat, guys. The Buccaneers pull off a great one. That was a great – I love everything from the uniforms in that game. Baker Mayfield was doing his thing. Unbelievable finish in that one. But the Bucs, unfortunately, they're 4-1. We couldn't get the Dolphins to beat the Panthers.
It's terrible. They blew a 17-point lead.
They say that Ross is just kind of indifferent. I don't know how this coach McDaniel doesn't make, you know, I thought he'd be fired by the time we play the Dolphins. You know, when they'll be here in October, he may still be on the sideline.
Yeah. 5 o'clock hour is brought to you by our friends at Jim Ellis Kia at Town Center, Kennesaw. And also want to remind you that you can join the Falcons flyover. It's right after the game. It's your first chance to call in and react to every Falcons game brought to you by our friends at Ticketmaster, guys, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. It's the Falcon flyover right after the game, and that will happen Monday night as well. We're coming back. College football is crazy. One question. Who's truly the best team in the country right now? It's Dukes and Bell.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is a little bit upside down. It's Dukes and Bell. From the standpoint of the unpredictability, which I actually love, don't know how you guys feel about it, but when you look at the rankings and what's been going on, this weekend was another weekend in which you went, what? I mean, the biggest loss of the weekend by far was Penn State, who's out of the top 25.
You and I both picked
unbelievable
Penn State.
25-point, you know, favorite, 24.5, on the road against UCLA, who was 0-4. They hadn't won a game, and I want to just play a little bit of this because Nico Iamaleava had a big game. He accounted for 5 touchdowns, guys. Ran for 2, threw for 3. It's the first time, Mike, he's shown up since he's gotten there, and it happens against Penn State. James Franklin's catching a lot of heat, but there were 2 stories. One was Nico. The other one was Jerry Neuheisel. If the name sounds familiar, Mike, tell the people why.
You see Rick Neuheisel on CBS and, of course, coached in the Pac-12 back in the day, and his son was the tight ends coach. When they fired everybody, he was forced now to become the offensive coordinator. Had 2 days to develop the game plan and ran it up on the most highest paid defensive coordinator in college football for Penn State.
That he did. Let's hear from Nico talking about the big game.
We got a great win, man. Finally, man, we were able to pull out a win, and man, the belief we had in each other was still there throughout even a tough start. So.
Yeah, look.
Jim Knowles, by the way, came over from Ohio State.
I don't know how many games Ohio State wins. It doesn't matter. This is the kind of thing that makes your season. You know, Deshaun Foster got fired. You guys remember him. We used to play the soundbite about we're on the West Coast.
It's great. You know, it's two great emblems coming together.
Yeah, he had no clue. So this is an organization that's in turmoil. And here comes Big Bad Penn State, Mike, after a loss at home in overtime. And they get slapped in the face. This was not close, by the way. It wasn't even close.
Yeah, play after play. And look, this is where we've talked about, it's well documented, James Franklin does not beat ranked opponents. If you're a Penn State fan, this was the year, and again, it's now 0-2 in Pac-12 play, or Big Ten, Pac-12 teams are in the Big Ten now between Oregon and UCLA. You got two losses in conference. It's bad enough you can't beat Ohio State, and now you do this. And so this is where maybe the one where folks say, we've hit the ceiling. You know, it's right here with James Franklin. He puts guys in the NFL, but we're never going to win a championship with this guy. This was the year, like Ohio State, like Michigan 2 years ago, that they had the band together, Carl. Guys are sticking around. Quarterback's back. Got a great defense. Forget about it. Done.
Forget about it. Let me hear Jerry Neuheisel talking about, by the way, they carried him off the field, if you didn't see this.
Pretty cool.
When's the last time you carried an offensive coordinator off the field?
Who looks like he's about 12.
He does. Here's what he said after the game.
First thing I want to say is I love UCLA more than anything. And the kind of kids that you see that played on that field today is exactly why you love a place like this. We had 2 days to practice the new game plan, and all they did was believe. And we came out and played as hard as we could for 60 full minutes. Had to take a safety at the end because we messed it up a little bit. But, like, how can you not love college football when you have days like this? Special, special, special.
Looks like his dad, sounds like his dad.
And that's called lobbying for the job.
And by the way, he's waited his whole life. He's been wanting to be an offensive coordinator for as long as he's been playing football back as a backup QB.
Well, this is how you get hired. I mean, honestly, these are the kind of wins that put you on the map. We'll see where they go. They have an interim head coach. His name's Tim Skipper. I don't think he's going to get the job, but Neuheisel with the name recognition, Mike, and a win like this. And if Nico continues to play as well as he did, not five touchdowns, but if he plays well, he probably will get the job.
It's one thing, like, you know, these guys, they lost to UNLV.
Terrible.
And Dan Mullen. That's how bad UCLA is. So, a hell of a story. That one was great to see.
Hold on. I want to get to James Franklin because I want our people.
Oh, yeah. I want to hear James Franklin's excuses.
Well, and here's the thing. He actually said, this is not that soundbite, but he actually said over the weekend that the way the game started was kind of indicative of the way the afternoon might go. And I'm paraphrasing, but it was like, we are so unprepared. We weren't ready. UCLA kicked an onside kick. They recovered. I mean, early in this game, they were just like, we're going all out. And Penn State looked like they were lost. Here's Franklin talking about sticking together.
Coaches, the players in the locker room, offense, defense, and special teams, the reality is we didn't play well enough in all three phases to win the game. And there's going to be a lot out there to divide, and we got to tune all that out and stick together.
Yeah. Divide.
Yeah. I mean, bro, my wife lives in Pennsylvania. Well, she grew up in Pennsylvania. That's that middle part of Pennsylvania.
I was about to say, when she moved.
Yeah, I mean, she lives.
you were like, she lives.
I mean, the first time I was up there, my God, I was like, oh, please. I mean, the only excitement is you're like,
what's that?
It's the Amish going by. Clippity-cloppity, clippity-cloppity.
It's horses.
God bless. My father-in-law was a lot of fun. I mean,
what did you do for entertainment up there?
You want to go over the mountain? I'm like, what does that mean? This little bar called, like, the Fannettsburg Inn. We walked in there. Guys are watching. It's the middle of college football season. Guys are watching, like, NASCAR highlights. Oh, I'm like, it's everybody. I mean, the women wear flannel. I mean, it's country as hell. And that's where I played golf. We went up there. It was during COVID. And we're playing golf with my idiot brother-in-law and all his friends. And of course, they're all Penn State guys. I got my Florida State bag.
Yeah.
Of course, I had jokes, you know, because I'm like, well, Coach Bowden is the winningest coach of all time. It's not Joe Paterno anymore. Whoosh, the drive. But anyway, they are over Franklin. I mean, and with good reason. I mean, let's be honest, with good reason. This isn't like prisoner of the moment. He doesn't win against the best teams in college football. And which brings us to another coach. Sorry, bro. Who doesn't win against the best teams in college football.
Just the facts, man. It's the truth.
Steve Sarkisian, who now says, what, are there 135 teams in college football? Let's take the other ones and let them start at Ohio State and play in the swamp. You think guys cutting checks for six figures want to hear that at Texas?
No. They don't. 5-18 versus top 10 all time. That's Sark. 2-8 versus top 10 at Texas. So here's the kicker, Mike. Do you guys know who started number one this year in the polls? Texas. And they are out of the top 25.
First time ever you've had two top 10 teams out of the top 25 this early, with Penn State also falling out of the AP top 25.
So you start number one. The Ohio State loss, you can accept that. First game on the road, Ohio State quarterback first. This Florida loss, though, even though it's one SEC loss, and it does not mean they're out. They have four more ranked opponents that they have to play, including Georgia. That's the only road game, by the way. Everything else is going to be at home. And that includes a ranked Texas A&M right now, who's fifth in the country. Don't know how high they will be. They still have to play, as I mentioned, Georgia. They've got a path to get back in. But you are right about Sark. But I will say this. As long as that offensive line is not blocking the way they didn't do anything Saturday, Mike, it's going to be a tough season for Arch. We can talk about what he is and what he isn't. I don't care how good you are. And by the way, he is a dual threat. You've seen it. They were all over him like blank on blank on Saturday. They rushed him. He tried to make some throws when he had time. He made good throws at times. But there were two plays, and I go back to this, and this is, by the way, no excuses. Texas got their butt kicked. Florida was more physical. They were the better team. But there were two plays. He went to his playbook, and I'm talking about Sark, Mike. They threw like a receiver pass wide open. Overthrows the wide receiver. Would have been a touchdown. Arch overthrows a wide receiver down the seam just by about 2 feet. Would have been a touchdown. It's those plays they haven't made when they're there. And then on top of that, you got your quarterback running for his life. Florida had six sacks. I'm going to tell you, Georgia, if they get after you, Georgia like this, it's going to be – I don't care about Gunnar Stockton being a runner. So is Arch, and he had a tough time
you
getting out of
there. You brought up a great point. The receivers are healthy for the first time. Lagway's making good decisions. Lagway – look, if LSU can't run the ball, they're also 4-1 in the top 10.
Crazy.
And Brian Kelly's trying to, like, you know, challenge his players, talk about Nussmeier. That to me, LSU's a fugazi. They're going to get you. But Florida now, and if you don't like Billy Napier, if you're a Florida fan, it's like, oh, great. He just bought another year of Billy Napier. Now with he's healthy, that defense, I mean, those guys look like all of them in that front seven could play in the NFL right now. I mean, they looked the part. By the way, if you're just tuning in, we'll go in-depth on Georgia coming up because Georgia did some of the things we were waiting to see, including cover this, Fred. But, yeah, the loss, and now you go and take on Oklahoma in one of the great atmospheres at the Texas State Fair. Oklahoma, by the way, the number three pass defense in the country. One of the top third down defenses. One of the best scoring defenses. You know, Venables is going to have them ready. So, I mean, it doesn't get any easier for Sark.
No.
Just the human element of the pressure mounting.
John Mateer has practiced. This is the big question, their quarterback. If he plays, Mike, and let's just say he's 80%, Texas is going to have a tough time. I don't think he plays. I don't think he's ready, and that may be the difference in this game. But OU is ranked sixth in the country, and this is a big spot for Texas. Now let's shift gears and talk about the other team because I think they're the best team in the country. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and that's the game you were at. The Miami Hurricanes and Carson Beck, you heard me, dog fans, is playing better than anybody else right now, and he is, Mike, his throws, I'm not talking about hitting guys in stride. I mean, he literally – those wide receivers he has, they are talented, but it feels like there's just this connection. Beck looks comfortable. He had four touchdowns in that game.
He's only had a few wobbles. He threw a few passes behind his guys in the first game at Notre Dame, and those guys made incredible corrections in midair and saved him. His only other like Beck-like wobble that you saw at Georgia was against USF, but they had enough with their defense. They ran the ball. They won it going away. I didn't get to see Miami last year because Florida, there was no reason to go. Florida State was terrible. First time I get a chance to see these Hurricanes, they're big. They're physical. They're fast. I think of Dan Quinn, fast and physical.
Physical, yeah.
Florida State couldn't get anything going with the pass rush. The Alabama Crimson Tide looked like they'd never seen a read option, you know, and Gus Malzahn was just carving them up. Miami players maintain eye discipline, lane discipline, get in the backfield.
They didn't let Castellanos get out of there.
Yeah. And then Castellanos is just kind of winging stuff off his back foot and then two bad picks. So Miami looks the real to me. I think they're better than Ohio State. I don't want to be prisoner of the moment, but
their quarterback play right now, he's playing better than Julian Sain.
Right. And Carson Beck, we're going to get into Georgia next segment and get your phone calls too, is, you know, he, if he stays, is he going to be basically a greasy spot with that Georgia offense, or is he in the best position to be in? Because Georgia fans maybe don't want to hear this, and Texas fans don't want to hear this. You weren't able to reload to the level fans were expecting off of last season. And maybe Connor Riley was right last week when he said this Georgia team just isn't championship caliber. Big step in the right direction, though, having a lead of 14 points as opposed to being down 14-0 against Kentucky.
But expected. What happens at Auburn at night this weekend? There are more challenges for Georgia where the quarterback, specifically Gunnar Stockton, is going to have to deliver. Mike, 13 of 20 against Bama, 430 yards, is not going to get it done. 15 of 23 for 196, a pick and a touchdown this weekend, is not going to get it done. These upper echelon teams are throwing the ball vertically. It's my concern with Georgia. We'll talk about it next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to remind you, Saturday from noon until 2, join Bo Morgan at Bulldog Kia of Athens. And they're giving away some stuff, too, as we get ready for Monday night's big game. One lucky fan is going to win the Ultimate Tailgate Kit, the 50-inch 4K smart TV with a rolling stand and other prizes, plus another winner is going to take home some tickets to an upcoming home game. Again, it's Saturday, noon to 2 at Bulldog Kia in Athens with Bo and Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dogs win against Kentucky. And Mike said it. They got off to a fast start. How much did we talk about this last week? And more importantly for me and the picks they covered.
yes.
But, you know, as we said, Kirby doesn't care about that. He's just trying to get his football team to play the best that they possibly can as they move along through this journey. Mike, what did you make of this Kentucky game and the win? Because, I don't know, I'm not going to say it was boring, but it seemed fairly easy for the Dogs.
I mean, we talked about the Kentucky physicality. They want to make it physical. Well, Georgia ran all over them, 183 yards. You know, and Gunnar accounted for 48 of those. 19 was his longest. But good, effective running from Chauncey Bowens. You know, Frazier, we were talking about, is Frazier going to get back on the field? Yes.
He is.
I don't know if they made him carry a football all around campus last week. But, yeah, they were able to do, you know, the things you expect Georgia to do. I just, and again, there's no reason to get, you know, some of the secret stuff that you're going to maybe need later in the season out there. I don't know. Just maybe a little more dynamic play calling. They ran it pretty good. There was a couple of, I didn't like the interception. You know, that's obvious, but they do stop and they get a three and out right off that. So there was no harm, no foul. Kentucky couldn't do anything with the ball. And then, you know, we can always debate Bobo, and I've seen a bunch of video breakdowns, different fan websites, the guys that cover Georgia. A lot of these are both in the Alabama game and the Kentucky game where Gunnar Stockton is not seeing, you know, they're open receivers. And they're down the field, and these are touchdowns. So we're talking about big game, big momentum, big plays, Carl.
Yeah.
So Bobo has put a scheme together where his skill position guys are open, and Gunner's not seeing it. You know, and that's got to improve. I mean, this is a tough game. Jordan Hare, under any circumstances, is a tough out. And if you look at Auburn's schedule, I have to remind Auburn fans, they get totally hosed against a really good Oklahoma team on the road. Yeah. And they were certainly respectful in their loss. Respectable, I should say, to the Aggies. It's a good team.
I think so, too. And that's what's crazy about the SEC. Like, Florida this week, after that big win against Texas, goes to Texas A&M. That's a night game this weekend. Watch what happens. Like, this is the craziness of the SEC. It's so unpredictable, Mike. And the Auburn game now, it feels like, all right, not that they're on life support, but if they beat Georgia.
Oh, it's their Super Bowl.
Correct. It just changes the trajectory for them. Now, Georgia's right now, it's early in the week, 3.5-point favorite on the road, over-under is 46.5. But the thing about Georgia's defense is they dominated Kentucky's run attack. You're going to have to do that against Auburn. You know going in, Mike, they want to run the football. That's the bread and butter of what they do. But they held the Kentucky to 45 yards on 22 attempts. While we're talking about the Dogs, let's hear a little bit of Kirby talking about the fast start, because this was key for them to get the dub last weekend.
Yeah, I was excited about our guys getting a fast start today. I think that was the goal, to go every game. But to start early and start fast, I thought we had good energy on offense. I thought they had a good plan in terms of how to execute. Every time we play them, it's really physical. It was physical again. It's always going to be physical. I thought some players had some good individual performances. We still have a long way to go to improve to get where we want to go. We are not as efficient and together as we need to be, but we are physical and we are resilient, and we do have guys that believe in physicality, which is going to keep you in every game.
They showed you that resiliency in the Tennessee game.
Right. You came – I mean, especially, and by the way, you don't make this like we're bashing Gunnar Stockton. The throw, the dime he drops on the fourth down, that's one of the great throws you're going to see in Georgia history. Yes. Any quarterback. Go back to Fran Tarkenton to that dime he dropped. It's just kind of weird because if you're watching TV Friday night and you see Carson Beck, you brought it up earlier, and you said, you know, what would Carson Beck be here? You got technically better receivers for Carson Beck than he had. Now, Carson Beck, it wasn't all about guys dropping balls. He was throwing guys – and the other jerseys, the football a lot at times last year.
But your team led the conference in the country in drops.
Right. That is also undeniable.
That is part of this discussion.
So if Carson is here with this offensive line, which I can now say a makeshift offensive line, because they've had to move pieces around with injuries and other things. I mean, would he be okay? Would they have pulled off the win? Would he have seen the things that Gunnar? I think he would see some of the things that Gunnar didn't see. It's just so funny because now talking to Dog fans, Carl, on social media, We get all this revisionist stuff. You know, let's be honest. You didn't like the Lamborghini. You didn't like him dating them girls from. He was just dating one. He wasn't like he was
dating both.
That would be something. He was dating one of the captains.
That would have been news.
But it just seemed like. It was a bit of revisionist history. Yes, you were ready to run him out, and he left. But he did pursue. He was going to probably declare, but the injury brings him back. This will be one of those deals if Georgia has a ceiling here with Gunnar. Now, I know that Gunnar, he's not along in his career where Carson Beck is. He was thrown to the fire against Texas and certainly against Notre Dame last year, Carl. But Carson Beck, some Dog fans, if he goes on to win a natty with Miami, they go, what the hell?
Yeah.
Although he's surrounded by tremendous talent, and because Cristobal has recruited at the level that Kirby's recruited, and they've been able to kind of keep it there. Georgia's just, like a lot of other teams in college, they just don't have the depth. Same thing Texas is going through with their offensive line.
Yeah, I just, specifically about the quarterback position, though, he's just playing better than Gunnar right now. It doesn't mean that they'll play out that way for the rest of the season, but I just get a sense that you're going to have buyer's remorse, and you're going to say, if he played this well, why didn't we keep him? You made this decision, Georgia, in the offseason to move on, and maybe it works out for both. But I'll tell you somebody else who's playing better. And it's obvious in the numbers. Ty Simpson is playing way better than Gunnar Stockton. Guys, he's got 13 touchdowns, one pick. The Florida State game was a mishap, and you go, what is going on? Since then, He's been money. Over 1,400 yards. He's got more yards than Carson Beck. And I think both of those teams, here's the similarity. Great on the outside. They've got great wide receivers on the outside. For Georgia, if you spend all this money on the guys on the outside, then why aren't we seeing more down the field stuff? And Mike, I'm over this saving. What are you saving for? Like seriously, when I hear people say that, like, oh, they're for what big game? They're all big in the SEC. You can't save anything. You pull out what you need to pull out to win a game, and then you move on to the next one. Guess what? If you want to stop a dynamic passing offense, this is what we are. This is what we do. Good luck.
But
you can't sit on plays because, well, we're saving that for down the road.
I just, like I said, I've seen enough of these videos where, look, Gunnar is still learning on the job, but he's just not seeing the field the way Carson Beck is. Carson Beck's an upperclassman. But why did you spend the money on Zach Branch? He's got two touchdowns. He's one of the best athletes on the team. Give him the ball. Find a way to get him in space. And then you've also got the numbers, and this was, I apologize for not having the website, but one of the Dog Nation or somebody put this together, comparing what Munkin's screen level and the rate of passes. Basically, because I know Mike Griffith, every time I bring up Munkin, he's like, oh, Munkin wasn't all that. So, okay. So Stetson Bennett was the greatest quarterback to ever dress out, better than Matthew Stafford, better than Shock, better than David Green. I mean, okay. I mean, all of a sudden now, I mean, you've got all these players you picked up in the offseason that are supposed to be the difference to help you do the things you're just talking about.
Yeah.
So where is it?
No, I don't know.
Unless it's, Gunner's just not there yet.
Well, and I think that's what the discussion is.
He's good, but he's inconsistent. How about that? So we're not, it's not like we're killing him.
No.
You know, people hear things.
No, they're winning. And I don't know where that is from. That's an inaccurate statement there from Mike Bell. I think
I was killing Carson Beck last year.
That's true, you were. I think, that, Mike, they're winning. But there's levels. There's just levels to this, and that's all. At the end of the day, we're going to see how this plays out. But if you're telling me right now that you believe that Georgia, and I asked one of our callers this earlier today, are they a national championship contender? Guy said no. Why? Why? That is the question. And if it's not, well, they don't have the defense they had in 2021 and 22. We know that. So you need something to be great. That is where you're seeing these quarterbacks elevate. And that eventually is what's going to have to happen to our guy Gunnar Stockton. And by the way, I hope he does. I wish, Mike, they'd let him go. It's almost like they have limiters on him, and they're going, hey, we're going to run the ball, and we're going to protect you and throw it short. And screw that.
It is strange, though. You know, again, kind of a reality check. I was talking about the defensive numbers. I was looking at third down percentage and red zone defense, and Oklahoma's up there, Ohio State's up there, Miami's up there. You know who's not up there? Georgia. Because they turned it over. They turned it over. Look, you don't just lose guys like Jalen Walker and just, you know, hey, we're going to just run it back. So that's just, to me, and you and I brought this up earlier. I mean, this is no blank, Sherlock. Those 21-22 defenses were like Olympic-level defenses for Georgia.
Historic.
You just don't have that right now.
No, they were. But when Kirby's putting 10 guys in the NFL every year or whatever it is, I can't make excuses. Like, you know this routine. 10 of you guys are leaving, and like half of you are going to the first round. The rest of you guys will see you in the league, and we're going to come back and fill the void.
Right.
Everybody would love to have an opportunity to have what Georgia has when you talk about putting guys in the league. So we can't use that as an excuse for it. There was a time, do you guys remember this? Mark Richt wasn't putting anybody in the league. There was a time where this was actually going on. Now it's like, if they ain't from Georgia, that's right. A problem. There are general managers who are focused in on Georgia talent because of how Kirby and his staff gets guys ready for the league. Mike, that's a benefit. But it also means that the next group is going to be – they're going to get the same coaching and the same benefit. You got to step up and play better, man.
But this goes back to the debates we've had with, you know, Connor Riley and Mike Griffith. Can you find better coach? Is it – can you close the gap? Okay, season's not over by any stretch. You got one loss.
Big season.
But you got to, but again, you've got to grind it. Nobody in the, with all due respect to the Big Ten, is playing Auburn, Ole Miss, Florida, right? I mean, who's playing that? You know, that's what we get into. You know, I know it's apples and oranges. Well, not really. Auburn, Ole Miss, you do get an extra week for Florida. But you know, again, that Florida defense, we talked about how good they look, and Lagway's got his healthy receivers, and now they're playing with confidence. So Georgia, fix it. Find a way to get this guy to get. He's got to be looking at. Here's the film. Here's the tape.
Yep.
You got. I Mike Bobo, I put you in a position. Why are you not seeing that guy streaking the end zone with nobody around him?
It was.
I hear you, Barbara Dooley.
It was. All right, man. We got to get out of here. Chrissy's got the bridge show tonight. By the way, Hawks preseason. Yeah. Hawks fever.
Catch it
at Houston. 7:30 pre tips at 8.
H-Town.
And then Kansas City at Jacksonville. That game's going to be on WAOK, our sister station. So the Monday night game, you can still listen to. 7 o'clock pregame, kicks at 8:15. We're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. But Chris has got the bridge show. Then you got Hawks basketball tonight. All right, Day-Day, great job, man. We got to get out of here and clear our throat. Hey, thanks to our guest, our buddy DJ Shockley stopped by. Great stuff from Shock today, if you want to hear what he had to say. And bang, Steve Holman, the voice of our Atlanta Hawks. He is in his 41st season. Calling Atlanta Hawks basketball. Pretty impressive milestone. Congratulations to Steve as that gets underway tonight with the preseason. All right, Mike, let's get out of here, man. Clear your throat.
You know, it's so funny. Sometimes you just got to say, hey, that guy's a dummy. That guy made a stupid play. That guy deserves to be chewed out. That's what used to happen to us going all the way back to, like, Pop Warner, Carl, in high school football. Talking about Amari DiMercato. How about a nice tall glass of Amari DiMercato?
Make it two.
This is the guy that like drops the football at the goal line, made famous by DeSean Jackson back in 2008. And since then, subsequent new big dummies have made the same play at all levels. Why? How, Sway? How?
How?
And now some people, I got to be honest, have got the nuggets to say, oh, Jonathan Gannon went too far. By what? Running over to the player and going, what are you, blanking stupid? Because he was, and they blew a 21, which would have been 28-6 lead. When you're a bad football team, you do stupid stuff like this, and the coach is right. I hope the players' union doesn't make a beef. I don't think he hit him. He definitely brushed up against his player. Carl, what would your old coach would have done? Pow! Right in the kisser.
and everybody would have been cool with it. Hey, man, Jerry Jones might be in the news again. No, he's not trading anybody. He gave a Jets fan the finger.
Oh.
Yeah, MetLife Stadium. Fans are going in. Cowboys win 37-22. Fan says a couple of things to Jerry, and there comes the finger.
I was telling him I thought he was number one.
So the question is, what's the NFL going to do? If you're going, well, there's no precedent. Actually, there is. 2009, Bud Adams, who was the owner of the Tennessee Titans, right? Got fined $250,000 by the league for making an obscene gesture towards a Bills fan.
Oh.
Dave Tepper, Carolina's owner, $300,000 during a 2023 season when he was caught on video throwing a drink in the direction of a Jacksonville fan. Panthers lost that game, by the way, 26-0. I would have thrown drinks, too.
Hmm.
Point is, Jerry's about to get fined, or at least we think he is. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you picked a fight with a grease truck driver in an alley.
What are you?
I'm Batman. Get out!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.